Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III. And I am 1J down. But Jay Tross is still in town. Jay Tross is to my right. Marty Sparks is lighting up the dark once again from the screening room. And I am so grateful to have the blessed privilege to be on the air with you another day. God is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Praise be to God. Well, most of you are making your transition right now as you're listening to me, whether it be via the radio. And if you don't know what the radio station is in your area, you can always go to AFR.net to the station finder link. You can find your station right there, nearly 200 stations nationwide. The AFR network consists of nearly 200 stations nationwide. You can click on your area and see what station is available to you. If you, however, do not have a radio station in your area, you can download the AFR app, which I encourage you to do. That way you can put Hamilton in your corner everywhere you go. Thank goodness for the wonders of technology. One of the good uses of that technology is that you can carry the American Family Radio Network with you everywhere you go. Also, you can get the Hamilton Corner wherever you get your podcast. You can download it. Download the podcast free of charge, whether it's Android or iPhone, Apple products, whatever you use. You can download the podcast. You can also watch the Hamilton Corner live if you choose to do it that way via the Hamilton Corner's YouTube channel. You can subscribe there. I encourage you to do so. Hit the subscribe button. You can also do so on Twitter. You can follow the Hamilton Corner on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. My handle there is at Hamilton Corner. You can also watch the show live on Facebook if you have Facebook. For now, surprised they're still letting the show go on there. It's pretty interesting, but you just find the Hamilton Corner channel there. And you can tune in wherever you are in the country. Praise God for that. Well, most of you, as I started off saying, are making that transition right now, one of the most important points of your day, making that transition from your part-time job to your full-time job. If you don't know, if you're new to the program, I describe your part-time job as what you do to generate an income. Most of us generate an income outside of our families, okay, outside of our homes. A few of us do so from home. But the majority of us do that outside of our homes. Well, when you make that transition from your part-time work on your way home, you might not have realized this, but you're actually moving into your full-time job. What you do in your families is your full-time job. You may generate an income outside of the home on a part-time basis, but your full-time dads and moms and husbands and wives and family members, that is your full-time job. The first ministry, the first work that we must be committed to is serving our families well. So I just want to encourage you, offer you the daily encouragement that as you make that transition, that you do so with the full understanding that I'm transitioning into full-time ministry. Evangelizing our children, discipling our children, cultivating our spouses, cultivating our marital relationships. This is ministry. This is ministry. And I say repeatedly, one of the best things we can do in making disciples of our offspring, especially us as husbands, is show our children what it looks like for a man of God to serve his family, to cultivate his wife, to disciple his children. It's often been said, more is caught than is taught. So we want to make sure that our affirmative instruction matches our lifestyle, that when we open up the Word of God, notice I didn't say if, because in Hamilton Corner, that's not an option. Actually, from God's standpoint, it's not an option. When we open up the Word of God and we're offering affirmative instruction, didactic lessons from the Word of God, that it matches, those lessons match what our children see in our lifestyles. Additionally, if we find, wait a minute, this is what the Word of God says, and I haven't been living this, it gives a perfect opportunity for us to demonstrate before our children what contrition looks like, what repentance looks like, what it looks like when the conviction of the Spirit of God is resonant and how we respond. So it's a no-lose proposition. It's a no-lose proposition. And to that, while we're talking about making disciples, I want to remind you that November 15th and 16th, I will be joining Dr. Alex McFarland at the Truth for a New Generation Apologetics Conference, where Dr. Erwin Lutzer will be there, Dr. Alex McFarland will be there, Josh McDowell will be there, well-known apologist who's been a great benefit to the body of Christ, as well as to me personally, as well as to my family. His book, More Than a Carpenter, has been instrumental, especially for my oldest, in discussing the truth claims about Christ and how we know that we not only have a robust faith, but it's an intelligent faith that is supported, not contradicted, but it's supported by science. It was helpful for me. So November 15th and 16th, if you are in the Cincinnati, Ohio area, or if you're willing to travel to the Cincinnati, Ohio area, I'd love to see you there. November 15th and 16th, we will be at the Landmark Church, the address for which is 1600 Glendale Milford Road in Cincinnati, Ohio. Again, Landmark Church, 1600 Glendale Milford Road in Cincinnati, Ohio. You can go to truthforanewgeneration.com to register. All right, we're going to start the show off today in the remaining moments of the first segment in Psalm 63. In Psalm 63, this is a psalm of David, a psalm of David. And the psalm is introduced to us with a titular phrase, a title phrase, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. All right, that's important to note. Now I'm going to go through just the first 8 verses of this psalm. And this is what David wrote. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Now, it's important to note, and I shared this with you intentionally, that this is a Psalm of David written while David is in the wilderness of Judah. David is in an arid, parched, desert-like conditions. And he begins by professing his earnest desire for God. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. He writes, my soul thirsts for you. Now, the significance of that statement is elevated for us when you recognize David is in a wilderness place where water is sparing. You would think that in desert-like conditions, in arid conditions, a person in those conditions would think about being thirsty for high-quality H2O, like the water boy said. High-quality H2O. But no, David says, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. In the conditions where there's a physical lethargy and a tiredness that can set in based on the physical conditions, David says, oh no, you might think that my flesh faints because of the heat and because of the sun and because of the dryness. But no, my flesh faints for you. Because in addition to being in a desert place, David is also separated from the corporate worship gathering. So in a moment to where his physical environment, oh, thank you, Lord, his physical environment would suggest his attention should be in one direction, he says, oh, no, no, no. My attention and my direction is placed on the presence of God, longing for the presence of God, yearning for his even being missing the corporate worship times. You know, when I think about, you know, us in our country, we enjoy such freedom. And how easy it is for some of us to bypass corporate worship times as almost as if, take it or leave it. Maybe like some, you know, not so good potato salad. Take it or leave it. But when you are a worshiper, brothers and sisters, that's not limited to an action. That's your disposition perpetually. The Lord put this psalm in my heart because it's something that I've learned and I even practice, that when my life is spun up and I'm being pulled in multiple directions, that I have to contend for my times of worship. And I found, just as Psalm 73 says, that life can seem overwhelming sometimes until we enter the Lord's sanctuary. And one of the beautiful things now, being in the New Testament era, when, as it says in Matthew 20:27, that the veil has been rent from top to bottom, we don't have to physically relocate to find a sanctuary, but we become the sanctuary of the Lord's presence, where we can enjoy this level of worship-filled intimacy wherever we are. David goes on, "My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Since what you think should be happening to me physically because I'm in this desert space, that's how I feel concerning the presence of God. You see how that elevates the psalm for you, helps us to see? Oh my goodness. And the thing that always gets me, and this is David worshiping the Lord like this in the midst of what would seemingly be a difficult time. You have this same David who slays giants, who conveys this worship-filled sentiment. I want to challenge my brothers who are listening to me right now to lead your families in worship in your own homes. And yes, I'm going to add this other challenge. This is even a challenge for me. To even lead your families in singing worship and singing praises to the Lord. It didn't have to be a long, drawn-out, procedural thing, but allowing your families to see you as the head of your families, lead them in singing worship to the Lord. Songs to the Lord. A simple refrain, a doxology. One of the things that the Lord has done in my life is I've fallen in love with hymns. And by God's grace, I endeavor to introduce that to my children. But this is one of the ways, just one of the ways that we can be spiritual leaders in our families, to where we introduce to them that, you know, singing worship and praises unto our Lord is not only something that's reserved for meetings on Sunday. That our homes, around our dinner tables, that they are repositories of worship to the Lord. Then David in verse 2 says, "See, I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you." Then he goes on and says, "So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips." Now, the thing, again, this is David pinning this while he is in a difficult circumstance. You know, I've often heard it said that, you know, you got to praise your way through difficulty. And I understand more now than I ever stood before, what that means is not as if your praises cause you to ignore the difficulty, but even in the midst or in the face of the difficulty, the Lord enables you to have a right frame of mind where you can think clearly. You think with divine insight and revelation, that the word of God is not something that's relegated to a side disposition in the face of difficulty. And then I know that some of you are listening to me and saying, "But wait a minute, Abe, I'm not a singer." Guess what? With the wonders of technology, you don't have to even lead in the singing yourself. You can play songs. Many of us have phones that are filled with music. Man, fill those phones with worship songs and allow praises being exalted to our King of Kings and Lord of Lords to flow within our families, within our homes. And if we're in a place where we recognize that we have some people, some fathers especially, some husbands who are not in the proper position, but this is a perfect opportunity to lift them up before the Lord, that God would move them to fill the rightful position as leaders, spiritual leaders, right in their home, where worship doesn't become just a task that is done in a corporate setting, but it's a lifestyle that flows from what happens in our home.
Protecting at-risk children in Michigan. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. A federal judge ruled that faith-based foster and adoption agencies cannot be forced to place foster children with same-sex or unmarried couples. The judge found that the Michigan Attorney General and the state were discriminating against faith-based agencies such as St. Vincent Catholic Charities. St. Vincent is a 70-year-old nonprofit that specializes in finding foster and adoptive homes for hard-to-place older children, sibling groups, and children with special needs. And the state is the sole source of its referrals. The judge prohibited the state from terminating or suspending contracts with St. Vincent, and he ruled that the agency can continue to place children exclusively in families that have biblical beliefs about marriage. Praise God for this decision. There are more than 12,000 children in Michigan's foster care system. Each of them deserves protection. Stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
Friendships is offering an amazing opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, learn relief missions, experience life on the mission field, and become physically fit. Sound like something you're looking for? Check out Seahawks' one-year scholarship program. The next session begins this September and includes a humanitarian aid mission to Israel. Visit friendships.org or phone 337-433-5022.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The holy grail for the mindless, obsessive Trump haters is getting their hands on the president's tax returns, and the battle has now reached the Supreme Court. The Supremes should remind everybody in America of the Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment guarantees the right of every American to be secure from government intrusion into his person, his house, and his papers. Well, the president is an American, so this protection applies to him, and his tax returns are papers, so this protection applies to them too. The only exception is if authorities have actual evidence a crime has been committed and a man's papers are central to the investigation of the crime. But no one has even alleged that the president has committed a crime, so this is just another snipe hunt. Progressives yammer and blather and bloviate that Trump is not above the law. Well, neither are his enemies.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. So I was discussing the case yesterday of Mr. Jeffrey Younger, who has a 7-year-old son. He's 7 years old now. And his ex-wife, Ann Georgilis, I believe is how you pronounce it. I may have mispronounced that name. Georgilis, who is a pediatrician. That's amazing to me. The case entered into the Dallas Family Court System. I believe it's the 255th Family District Court in Dallas, Texas. Because Dr. Ann wanted to minimize the custodial rights of Mr. Jeffrey Younger. Why is that? Because the couple had twin boys via in vitro fertilization. So the boys are not Dr. Ann's biological children, but they are via in vitro fertilization. I mentioned that. That was an interesting point yesterday. Didn't discuss that in detail, but I think that's an interesting point that gets kind of sidelined oftentimes. Well, Dr. Ann, and they had two twin boys. One was named Jude, and one was named James, right? Well, the issue is that one of the boys, Jude, Dr. Ann basically wanted to turn into a girl. And this has been since he was 2 years old. I played some of the audio from Jude when he was 3 years old yesterday on the program. Well, and I know that the jury reached a decision yesterday. thank you. Thank you. And I just got this. I haven't had a chance to read that yet, so I won't go into that yet. But the jury reached a decision that rejected, well, the way it happened, Dr. Ann was suing to minimize Mr. Jeffrey Younger's parental access to her son. Mr. Younger responded, said, wait a minute. The only reason why you're doing this is because I oppose your desire to make my son into a girl. So he countersued, basically, for sole conservatorship of the child. Well, the jury rejected that claim. The remainder of the family law issues will be decided by the judge, and the judge issued a ruling today. I've been checking to find that ruling all day, and I didn't get it until just now, so I won't be able to go into the ruling right now because I literally just got it into my hands. I hadn't been able to read it. Because other than the conservatorship issue, the judge was going to decide everything else. The jury decided conservatorship. The judge would decide the rest. But here's why I raised this point today. Because after the show yesterday, you know, this is one of those issues that I just could not shake. I mean, you have a father fighting to protect his son from being turned into a girl in Dallas, Texas. This isn't, you know, Seattle or San Francisco. In Dallas, Texas. And you guys know, you know, I have five children. My oldest is 8, my youngest is 2. I couldn't imagine going through this. Well, in going over this case again, I'm sorry, I said Jude. I meant to say James is a little boy that the mom is turning into the girl. Thank you. My Facebookers are helping me because I'm thinking James and I'm saying Jude. I'm sorry. But the going back over this case, when I got home, I uncovered a detail that I hadn't seen before. And this is a detail that's not getting very much attention. But the detail is this. Yesterday, I played the audio when James was being interviewed on video. And he says, who told you you were a girl? And he says, and this is when he was 3. He says, mommy told me I was a girl. His mommy told him. It came out, according to one of the attorneys, that Dr. Ann initially was told by little James, when he was really little, that the name he wanted to be as a girl wasn't Luna. You see, that is what Dr. Ann is calling him, Luna. Has the people at our school calling him Luna, has, you know, enrolled him in school under the name Luna. That was not the original name that James said he wanted to be. You want to know what the original name was? I'll read you the quote from the Texan, a publication. It says this, quote, interestingly, amicus attorney Dunlop revealed that Gorgulis, that's the mom, Dr. Ann Gorgulis, told him that Luna was not the first female name that James picked out. The first name that James picked out was Starfire. Now, some of you are asking, now, what's the significance of that? If you don't have young children, you may not know this, but Starfire is a female character from the superhero cartoon Teen Titans Go. Now, that's a show that I don't allow my children to watch anymore. But Starfire is a female cartoon character. But when little James said he wanted to be Starfire, Dr. Ann, the pediatrician, said, no, how about we pick another name? And then Luna was the second name. Now, that might seem insignificant to some people. But can I tell you why that's significant? If you listened to this show yesterday, I compared what was being presented to James as child abuse by his mother. And I used the example, not knowing this detail, about little James initially calling himself Starfire. Yesterday, I told you my 2-year-old son ran around my house saying he's Spider-Man. And I said, okay, so since he's Spider-Man, should I let him climb to the top of my house? I'm talking about he's going to fling webs to swing over to the next house and stop from fight crime? No. Why? Because me, as my son's father, my role is to protect him, even from things he would do to himself that are harmful to him. It is interesting to note that when James originally revealed the name he wanted to be, when he told his mom, or when his mom told him, you figure which one you want to be, which figure that out for yourself, that he was a girl, he didn't pick a girl, he picked a cartoon girl. it gives you an indication the mindset that little James was in at the time. He's in cartoon fantasy land. He's in cartoon fantasy land. So, Dr. Ann, that's so we letting our children become cartoon characters? No, that's what we're doing. Well, if we're not, tell me how you distinguish not wanting to allow James to become Starfire then from not allowing James to become Wonder Woman or Batman or, in the example I used, Spider-Man. Oh, I guess then that means we probably should not allow our 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 year old children to assume fantasy cartoon identities. So you got to pick one, Dr. Ann. Either he can be a cartoon or he can't be. And if the issue is, well, we need to let our children be who they want to be, why can't he be Starfire? If that's what you want to do. Why can't? Oh, because you realize there are some choices children may make in their adolescence that are not conducive to their growth as they go forward. Man, see, regressivism is a mental pathology. And there is no way you can be consistent as a regressive. Because if Dr. Ann, you're going to prevent little James from becoming Starfire, then why are you going to let him become Luna? Because just as much as little James is not Starfire, nor is he Luna. And it shows you that there are outer limits to where even the regressive minded will say, oh, no, we need to make a better choice. Folks, this is wicked on the highest order. This is child abuse. It is absolutely child abuse. I would have loved to be in that courtroom. Well, Dr. Ann, if you won't let the child become Starfire, why would you allow him to become Luna? On what basis do you find Starfire to be objectionable? Man, this world, my goodness. On top of that, I hadn't been able to get to this yet. I've been having it in my stack, but other things just kept coming on top of it. Willard Romney. Some of you might even know his first name is Willard. He called himself Mitt. But his name is Willard. Willard Mitt Romney. This dude running around with a fake Twitter account. If you would, Mr. Charles, please play clip number one.
Senator Mitt Romney says he has a secret Twitter account and that he sometimes uses it to defend himself when people are mean. He calls it his lurker account. I mean, he admitted to it during an interview with The Atlantic. Afterward, a reporter discovered an account called Pierre Delecto that follows all of Romney's children and was created shortly after he announced he was running for the presidency back in 2011. When asked about it, Mitt Romney responded, c'est moi, meaning it's me in French.
That's a doggone shame. That's a doggone shame. You got grown. There's some things that violate man code. Skinny pants, it's first level violation. Listen, I don't care what the trends are. Skinny pants. No, don't get me going on skinny pants again. Mitt Romney, regardless if he wears skinny pants or not, he is the personification of skinny pants. This dude is 72 years old, y'all. 72 years old. He created a fake Twitter account to protect himself from the big meanies out there. It's so mean. It's so mean to me. This is sad. Mitt Romney was being interviewed by a writer at The Atlantic, and he led on about a potential Twitter account. Well, he revealed the exact number of followers. Turns out, this fake Twitter account follows all of his children. And what Mittens did with that Twitter account was to defend Mitt Romney with the Twitter account. And anytime people said anything good about Mitt Romney, he would like the post, like the tweet. And whenever anybody said anything bad about Mitt Romney, he would defend Mitt Romney as Pierre Delecto. Je suis Pierre Delecto. Je suis Pierre Delecto. Comment ça va, Pierre Delecto? Y'all see why I call this dude Mittens? Put them on. Mitt Romney. You don't have the... This is why... And if you listen to me in Utah, please send this man home from Washington, D.C. This is embarrassing. He would take on reporters like Soledad O'Brien would say something bad about Mitt Romney, and he would, let me find that particular tweet. Well, Soledad, actually, like what kind of punk man stuff is this? This is shameful. He would take on reporters and others as Pierre Delecto. Now, you're a United States senator. You can't say in your own name whether or not you want to defend yourself. Pierre Delecto. That's all you need to know about Mitt Romney right there. He doesn't have the courage of his convictions to defend himself as himself. He adopts. Maybe we should call him Starfire. Maybe that's what he. Je suis Pierre Delecto. And then the reporter said, wait a minute now, Mitt. Now, you said you had this. They had this Twitter handle, this Twitter user out there had these particular amount of followers. Starting to kind of make me think it's you. Are you Pierre Delecto? And this fool said, c'est moi. Man, go sit down. Aren't you glad this man? Oh my gosh. I can't hardly think straight when I think about the levels of man code violation. I learned a long time ago. And my dad used to tell me, if you're going to say something about somebody, you're going to say it to them. I learned later on that there's some biblical truth to that. If I have an issue with Jason, I'm not going to go around the corner and I'm going to find Marty, but I ain't going to say it's me. I'm going to say, hey, Marty, but under the name Pierre Delecto. Hey, Marty, did you see Jason today? Ha, ha, ha. Pepe Le Pew is a skunk. Ha, ha. Under the name Pierre Delecto. This man is the personification of skinny pants. That's what he is. Mittens Romney is skinny pants. Skinny pants Romney. You cannot, sir. How could you? If you are a citizen of the state of Utah, can you in good faith say, I have all confidence in my United States senator? I mean, put the politics aside. This man adopted a fake moniker of Pierre Delecto. That's like related to delicious in some sense. He called himself the Delicious Pierre? I hope I'm wrong about that. How you gonna name yourself Delicious Pierre? And you gonna use your fake Twitter feed, Twitter handle to defend yourself. That's like you making your own Facebook post saying, ooh, that's a good post, like it. No, you're going to heart your own Facebook post. This is sad, man. This is just throw all of the paper away. Pierre Delecto. That's a shame. That's a shame. I got another story here. This is sad. And you want to talk about the organized destruction of our culture. You have a 72-year-old sitting United States senator doing what you learned in third grade you're not supposed to do. You don't talk behind people. That's what my grandmother used to say. Hey, you don't talk behind people. This man, 72 years old, using Twitter to talk behind people. And not even under his real name. Pierre Delecto. I hope the people of Utah unelecto Pierre as soon as possible. Because this is utterly ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous. He giving props to himself on Twitter under a fake name. Well, you know, Mitt Romney is one of the most principled politicians we have in D.C. He's such a man of character, such a man of principle. And he talking about himself under a fake name. Man, if I didn't know that was true, somebody said that to me, I said, no, not even Mittens would do that. C'est moi. Je suis Pierre Delecto. Ça va? Bien? Et tu? Man, go sit down.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. You wish things could be different, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Exposing Washington reveals the deception that plagues our nation's capital.
The mainstream media refuses to tell the truth of what's really happening.
Exposing Washington brings clarity to the news coming out of Washington, D.C.
The American people must stay informed on what our government is doing.
Exposing Washington with Walker Wildman brings you the inside scoop of what's happening at our nation's capital.
We must take our country back.
Each Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Practice what you preach. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. Jesus Christ exemplified love and compassion toward most everyone. But for the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees, he pronounced woes because they didn't practice what they preached. Today's social justice movement is rife with hypocrisy and selective outrage. When it comes to race, gender, sexuality, and climate, they are the first to scream. But when it comes to a baby's right to life or people in Hong Kong protesting communist China suppression, they are mostly silent. Apparently, real injustices aren't as important as their preferred social outcomes. Christian, don't play the hypocrite. Stand for justice as God defines it and be consistent. Hear more at thechristianworldview.org and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. If you believe 1 plus 1 equals 2, you might be a racist. That's according to the Seattle School District. They're planning to infuse math classes with ethnic studies questions. They're teaching the kids that math was appropriated by Western culture and used in systems of power and oppression. The district's framework includes lessons on how math and science have been used to oppress and marginalize people of color. Another theme focuses on resistance and liberation. Now, what that has to do with long-form division or teaching a kid how to balance a checkbook is beyond me. Education Week says woke math grew out of a campaign led by the NAACP as a way to introduce something called ethno-mathematics. All that to say, good luck finding a cashier down at the Walmart who can make change. To read more about this story, check out ToddStarnes.com.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner, where the utter jellyfish nature of Mitt Romney is revealed for all the world to see in his Twitter pseudonym, Pierre Delecto. That, I would be ashamed. How could I go home and look my wife in the face and say, hey, babe, by the way, you know, I've adopted a Twitter pseudonym, Pierre Delecto. And I do all of my keyboard warrior engagements under Pierre's name. Sad day. So here's the update concerning young James and his father's quest to protect him from the transanity of the day that the judge delayed her announcement of the ruling concerning the rest of the issues that are pertinent in this family law case. So the announcement is supposed to come tomorrow. So I will do my best to follow it and to report back to you the conclusions, because this man, you want to talk about showing up moments. I can't imagine how I would respond if I have anyone attempting to turn my son into a girl. I mean, if this is not a moment, a showing up moment, I don't know what is. I mean, and I said it yesterday, and I'm telling you, I agree. I will not shrink back from it. That is psychological molestation happening in plain sight. That we're so deluded by the cultural moment that we're willing to sacrifice women and girls in order to accomplish it. Another indication is where we are as a society. This is sad, man. This story comes to us from the St. Louis, Missouri area. According to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, a high school in the area called Cardinal Ritter College Prep canceled the remainder of its football season and fired every football coach on staff after discovering that a player who was supposed to be suspended had competed in the season opening game in football. Cardinal Ritter College Prep was 7-0. They had played 7 games. They won all 7 of the games of this season. Was investigated by a local sports website, STLHighSchoolSports.com, because the sports website raised suspicion about the identity of a particular running back on the football team who played in the first game of the season. There was a player by the name of Bill Jackson, who was a junior at the school. Obviously, he's a really, really good player. Cardinal Ritter made it to the state championship last year. So imagine last football season. Well, this football player, Bill Jackson, got ejected from the state championship game last year. All right? So under the state rules and the local rules in St. Louis, this particular player who was ejected from the state championship game last year also has to sit out one additional game, regardless of when the game is played. The very next game that this player who was ejected, the very next game that player has to sit out. So for this school, Cardinal Ritter, because the ejection occurred in last year's state championship game, then the player who was ejected in last year's state championship game has to sit out the first official game of the next season. Everybody with me? Well, what had happened was, this is sad, folks. The first game of the season, the first official game, not like a preseason game or a jamboree, the first official game of the season, this player, Bill Jackson, who is now a junior, played anyway in the first game under the assumed name of a freshman running back, Marvin Burks. Yes, yes. You see, Mr. Bill Jackson, who played in the first game under the name of Marvin Burks, the freshman, he wore a different jersey number. He wore the number that was given, that was ascribed to freshman football player Marvin Burks. But the weird thing that happened, that in the first game of the season, this freshman running back ran for 109 yards, including a 56-yard touchdown. And it seemed to this local sports website that this brand new freshman running back has the same tattoos of the running back that should be a junior now, who's not supposed to be playing in game one. So the investigation was being undertaken not by any law enforcement authority, anything like that, but the website said, wait a minute, this freshman running back, he's kind of balling out. 109 yards, a freshman? That's not normal. Now, I know Leonard Fournette in New Orleans played at my alma mater in high school, was a beast as a freshman. But this guy, according to the local sports website, said this guy kind of looks remarkably identical to the player who's supposed to be suspended. Now, this way it gets worse, y'all. If that's not bad enough, Cardinal Ritter High School's head football coach participated in the deception because in local media interviews, the coach went on the local media interviews saying, yeah, the new freshman running back that we got, he earned the start. He earned the right to play, the freshman. And even Bill Jackson, when helmets and shoulder pads were off, he played his part in interviews saying how hard it was for him to sit out that first game. Well, funny thing about tape. Now, the local sports website ran back the tape of Bill Jackson, who now is a junior, so you probably have tape from him from his freshman and sophomore year. Sophomore year, they made it to the state championship game. That's when he got ejected. So you know he played in that game. And they say, huh, this is a different number. And I know the roster says this is Marvin Burks, but that dude looks a whole lot like Bill Jackson. Well, it took 6 additional games to find out. But as Luke told us, the truth will be revealed ultimately. The truth comes out The principal, or the president of the school, her name is Tamiko Armstead, finds out. She cancels their whole football season. The school forfeits. The school forfeits. All seven of the games they won, forfeit the remaining games they have left in the regular season. Then the president fires everybody in the football department, every coach, because they all have to go along with it. Look, having played sports all the way up through college, ain't no way the coach didn't know who that player was running for 109 yards in game one. And in fact, we know that he knew because he talked at length in the media about how the freshman had earned the start for the first game. Now, why am I bringing this up? This comes on the heels of Pierre Delecto. Because what do you think, what kind of message is sent to those students at that school, the football players on that team, to where a person who's supposed to be an authority figure goes along with this deception, perpetuates the deception, all in the name of sports for a win? And then think about what's just come out about Felicity Huffman and these actresses lying about their children. Folks, what I'm saying to you, is that truth is falling in the streets. And it's very easy. It's very easy to train all of our attention, all of our focus on what's going on in Washington, D.C. But I'm telling you, what's happening around your table and what's happening in your house is far more important than what goes on in the White House. Marty, I forgot I'm supposed to give the number because we are taking calls this segment, but I didn't even say it. If you want to join the program, we have a few minutes to go. I would like to take your call. The number to call is 888-589-8840. I got so caught up in talking about these stories. The number is 888-589-8840. If you want to talk about the worshipful warrior David from Psalm 63, or if you want to talk about little James and his mother, a pediatrician. I can't get over that. prolonging a cartoon fantasy instead of her protecting her son. And I said it yesterday, I'm going to say it again. I think one of the things that is driving it, in addition to the whole political correctness of the day, is this woman's desire, because the two boys are twins, to have one boy and one girl. I could be wrong, but I can't escape that impression. But the number to call is 888-589-8840. If you want to talk about Pierre Delecto, Pepe Le Pew, c'est moi. That's a shame. You're welcome to do so. Or if you want to weigh in on this St. Louis area high school sports story. And you know what's so sad? One of the sad things, man, and all of the seniors on that football team, their seasons are done. It's over for them, you know. At the time where they should be, you know, celebrating and enjoying the last years of high school, because of the deception perpetuated by, I would suggest, a very, very selfish and a rather unscrupulous football staff. Now, not only did they lose their jobs, but these children's season are over. Man, we have this situation to where you have people that should be in positions of authority that are encouraging deception. Encouraging deception. And attempting to communicate the message that if you treat the right way, you could actually win. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. I have another story. I don't know if I have enough time to get to it. Well, I'll set it up this way, and I'll try to truncate it as much as I can. The actor Shia LaBeouf, you guys know, that I don't look. Oh, we got some callers calling. Let me get to the phone lines. Let's start in the state of Texas. We'll go first to Gina in Texas. Gina, welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program. Go right ahead.
Yes, Mr. Hamilton, I'm honored to be able to make through, and I wanted to talk to you about the caller from Texas yesterday who said she had married another woman and wanted to stay in the relationship because of benefits and then was trying to get a divorce. My thoughts on that are is that marriage is only a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. She's not in a marriage. She's just engaged in aberrant behavior. And then she's still not clear on that. What are your thoughts on that? And even to say that she wants a divorce, yeah. She's not married. She's not married. Marriage is man-woman, period.
Yep.
She's just acting, you know, like I said, it's aberrant behavior. And how do you get that across to people?
Yeah. So thank you for your call and your question, Gina. And if you remember the call, and that was from Monday. I don't think that call was yesterday. But I was attempting to keep the conversation focused on the sinful nature of the arrangement that she had engaged in. But like you said, regardless of what men say, God alone defines marriage. And I know there was a desire to focus on, you know, some of the policy implications of ascribing benefits and all of that. But marriage, Obergefell doesn't change the definition of marriage. Let me say it that way. The Lord himself defines marriage. And I agree with you what you said, that aberrant behavior doesn't redefine marriage. So marriage is what God says it is, and that really is period, end of subject on that issue. I understand the trappings of coming out of those things. So I was endeavoring to be be gentle yet resolute in my communication to her, that the issue is the arrangement and the conduct that violates God's created order and defies his word. And so that was what I was trying to focus on. But thank you so much for your call and your comments. We'll stay in Texas, and we'll go next to Dennis, who is on the line. Dennis, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. And I appreciate you mentioning what happened in St. Louis. That's amazing. But I think one thing that you missed on this is the fact that the school administration, as soon as they found that out, and because of the name of it, one presumes it's a Catholic-based. I'm not a Catholic. I'm a Protestant. But nonetheless, the administration took the ethical point of view and canned everybody and stopped this deceit.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I thought I said that. If I didn't, that was an oversight on my part. But as soon as I understand that President Armstead, who's the president of the high school, was made aware of the deception, she canned everybody immediately. It wasn't any slow rolling it. It was none of that. It was an instant and immediate termination of not only the head coach, but the entire football program. The entire football program. And I do agree with you that was a good response. But it's just my heart breaks, you know, for the other. I'm sure there were other players who weren't okay with that. And I think about the seniors that are there. I don't know why, but I just, my mind immediately went to them as well. It's just unfortunate, but I think a good lesson even for those young players is to recognize, listen, sin has consequences. I know that's not something we like to discuss too much these days. Sin has consequences. And let me say something else on that front, because this is not politically correct either, but all sin is not the same. I know it sounds cute, all sin is the same, but it's not. All sin is the same in terms of its eternal consequence, but all sin is not the same in terms of its temporal consequence. And the Lord describes sin primarily within the context of discussing the temporal consequences in different terms. I know it makes us feel good to say, yeah, all sin is the same, but all sin is not the same. And if we refuse to discuss the truth of those temporal consequences, we may very well find ourselves shielding some of the weight and the gravity of the conversation that is required. This is the Hamilton Corner. Equal opportunity to truth telling is what we do. Thank you so much for tuning into the program. And if you don't know the Lord, today is the day of salvation.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith.